This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, Cobra Retreats. Hey everyone, welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a show where two real friends dig through Toonami's back catalog and try to determine what, if anything, is worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we discuss several random episodes of G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, which was aired on Midnight Run for some reason, which, to be honest, I take a bit of issue with, because as we've talked about before on this podcast, and when I say before, I think maybe our like third episode, Midnight Run was such a like holy grail to me, because it was like, oh, the uncut, it's gonna be so badass and awesome, and I could never watch it. Right. And G.I. Joe is particularly by the standards of like 90s anime quite tame. In terms of violence, like very clearly no one is ever killed. Obviously, this is well known, parachutes out of every aircraft that explodes, etc., etc. So I just imagine being a kid and finally seeing Midnight Run and being so hyped for like Gundam Wing Uncut, where people fucking shoot each other and there's blood, and then there's just G.I. Joe.
Right, yeah. And the only change to Gundam Wing is like they say hell or damn a couple times.
Yeah, right, whoa. Right.
That's it.
Pretty much. It's like, instead of saying, you know, the god of death in the old thing, it's like the god of something else. And in this version, he says the god of death. That's really badass.
Yeah.
So G.I. Joe is obviously a pretty well-known 80s cartoon. And it's based off of, initially, a 1960s line of military-themed action figures. Mm-hmm. So when Hasbro was relaunching this line in the 80s, they happened to contract Marvel Comics, who basically created the backstory of this version of G.I. Joe, where
the originals were just these like foot tall dolls, like actual military service people, or, you know,
well, like generic
actual military service people. Yeah, pretty generic, and like, oh, this is a front lines guy, here's the heavy machine gunner. My brother actually had a couple of them.
It was like just straight up like, here's Army, here's Navy, here's Marines, here's Coast Guard, here's Air Force. Like it was so specifically split up. Also, of course, G.I. Joe is just a generic name, so, you know, that's the point. But yes, so they were trying to relaunch their line as like smaller standard action figures, basically, based on the success of other action figure lines at the time. Marvel came up with this whole backstory and published a comic. And so after this comic was like a pretty big success, they also contracted Marvel Productions, which is now Marvel Studios, kind of weirdly, to make a series of 30-second commercials that were animated featuring the characters from the toy line. These commercials were very well received, so they went on to make a miniseries that was 5 parts, and then another 5-part miniseries, and finally they just made a show of G.I. Joe, which is 2 seasons, and there's a movie, and then eventually Deke basically took over with a show that's also called The Real American Hero, but is non-continuous, and we're not going to talk about it anymore because it looks kind of terrible.
The basic plot of the show can be boiled down to the first line of the theme song. G.I. Joe versus Cobra the Enemy. That's it.
Yeah, this is one of those amazing shows where the theme song literally just says what the show is about, so there's really no context needed whatsoever to understand it. It's just about the G.I. Joes, which are this, you know, force in the American military who specifically exist to stop Cobra, the evil terrorist organization intending to take over the world. There are a bunch of characters because, of course, it's an action figure toy line. So, you know, there's a shitload of different characters. I guess we can go through those more in depth later, but the ones worth knowing are like Cobra Commander, who is technically the leader of Cobra and is like a cowardly, crazily high-pitched voice guy, voiced by Chris Latta, and the Baroness, which is kind of like a, I don't know, seductress kind of character, basically. There's not really a whole lot to her. Destro, who's like a metal-faced weapons manufacturer. And then the Joes, there's, you know, several Joes, Duke, Lady J, etc., etc. It's a bunch of different characters that have different specializations, and yeah, usually a code name that corresponds with said specialization.
The code names are ridiculous, like Beachhead, and there it's all, yeah, just military Beachhead, shit. Roadblock,
yes, of course. There, it's all military stuff for the most part, except for, you know, there are occasional Joes like Scarlet and Lady J, for example, that's just like, I don't know if that means anything.
Duke, yeah.
Yeah, Duke, of course. So, yeah, there's not really a whole lot of plot stuff to talk about with G.I. Joe. I guess it might be worth mentioning in the second season, Cobra basically gets tired of the fact that Cobra Commander is constantly losing battles. So a Dr. Mindbender, who's a new character, creates Serpentor to lead Cobra, and he is cloned from the DNA of a bunch of fucking conquerors from throughout history, which is pretty cool, I guess, except that Serpentor sucks. He has a weird-looking costume, and he breaks down a thing that's actually fun about the show, which I guess I'll talk about in more depth later. But until then, let's go ahead and talk about our Zeniths and Nadirs. Now, this being a grab bag, we have both favorites and least favorites and an honorable mention, just so that we have a little bit more of the show to talk about. So what was your favorite episode, Peter?
My favorite episode was episode 49 of the first season. The first season has what, like 65 episodes?
Yeah,
like
they're extremely long seasons.
It's called The Wrong Stuff, a pun on The Right Stuff, the astronaut movie.
Is that this a episode, pun technically?
Whatever, it's, you know, a little nod.
Yeah, right.
It's a this episode's interesting because it starts with like Cobra taking over these satellites and spreading this Cobra television network all over the world, which is like ridiculous. And we get a lot of like dumb, dumb like clips from shows of different like Cobra themed shows, including like this. There's this like Smurf spinoff, but they're all like, they're kind of all acting like commie stereotypes, you know?
Yeah, I guess. It's like the Smurf spinoff has two like green people comforting their purple friend on how it's like, it's okay that you're different, but you should be the same as us. And then he turns green at the end.
And yeah, they're all
like
happy.
Yeah, the moral lesson is like, blend in with everyone else.
Yeah.
You know,
they have some, what was that other one? It was like,
there's the C team, which is the A team, except that it's Cobra themed. And there's a Mr. T character who I think may be called Mr. C.
Yeah.
And his hair is shaved into the shape of a C.
It's really stupid.
And he pities the fool who doesn't, you know, support Cobra or whatever.
But what ends up happening in this episode, I was impressed by the scale of it, which I think, throughout the entirety of watching the show, I never really enjoyed the action. I just thought it was kind of stupid. It's just lasers flying everywhere, explosions.
Yeah, right.
Basically zero consequences for anything.
There's not much to it.
Yeah. And in this episode, this is the only one that where I found that was like kind of entertaining because it has just such a huge scale. Like this is an episode where they like fight on the ground. They're on the ground. They fly into space to try and take over the satellite. Like the Joes try and take over the satellite from Cobra. Mm-hmm. They fall from orbit after they fail, which like they fail for one thing, which is
they fail to destroy the satellite in their initial attempt.
Yeah. And then we get like this silly training montage where they learn to fight in zero G and they come back up and have this awesome space battle and then get inside the spaceship and fight in the space, in the giant space station. And, you know, it's like the whole scale of that was pretty enjoyable and just kind of crazy. And it's like, okay, this episode's like going for shit they would never normally go for.
Yeah, sure.
and it's kind of rounded out by the goofy Cobra TV stuff in the other end.
Yeah, right. I really like the Cobra TV stuff from this one.
Yeah.
Frankly, it's just funny to me that Cobra would bother, like, like, I don't know. It's just funny that they own a television network and they're this evil terrorist organization. And they're like, all right, let's produce a bunch of original content to make sure we have a like wide breadth of stuff that people can enjoy watching.
Yeah, like, nowadays it'd be like Cobra would release its own streaming service and have its own pre-made content.
I mean,
like Apple or something.
Yeah, I'm sure that like Cobra would have a YouTube channel that's just a bunch of weird Cobra propaganda. But I love that it's not just propaganda. I mean, they actually
it's just
bother
some shows
to
they
like
wanted to make.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's like some writers in who work for Cobra as soldiers, and they're like, finally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's my fan fiction now. I think I'm going to write is a full series about the backstory of them, like this guy trying to make a show and he can only pitch it to Cobra. And he's like in the pitch meeting with Cobra Commander. Cobra Commander's just, let's see. It's like, how can we make this more Cobra centric? So that'll be coming out sometime in the next year, and then I'll rename all the characters and publish a best-selling book series. That's a very cold take. My favorite episode was season 2, episode 28, Sins of Our Fathers. To be honest, part of the reason I love this episode is because of the very self-serious title for something that I don't really understand.
Yeah, seemingly
how
nothing
it relates.
To do with anything.
This episode starts with Joe named Dial Tone, whose, I guess, gimmick is that he's their radio operator, being discharged from G.I. Joe, and he gets hired by this woman to work on this, like, archaeological dig. For some reason, they need a radio guy. I don't really remember the specifics of it, but basically, it all turns out to be a ploy by G.I. Joe to plant him in this operation that's, of course, Cobra, without Cobra knowing about it, and Dial Tone doesn't even know about it. So we have several twists where things go back and forth because of that, but the real meat of the show is that Cobra Commander is taking a shitty job given to him by Serpentor to, like, keep him busy, which is raising this monster that Destro's ancestors worshipped from beneath Destro's castle, which he apparently has.
This isn't a monster show. This isn't a show where, like, you get monsters. It's a very weird thing.
Yeah, right. This doesn't happen for the most part. So, anyway, that monster totally exists. Cobra raises it, and then he's just like, oh, go kill Serpentor. Because by this point in the show, they were, like, I guess, sort of working towards Cobra Commander taking control back. Because he's constantly undermining Serpentor, like, right at the end of season 2. But anyway, so the monster is this giant, crazy-looking thing, and it attacks the Cobra base, essentially. And then the Joes come in, and they have to work together to fight this monster. I don't know. Like, it's a fun episode. I like Cobra Commander a lot, so seeing him scheming is, like, you know, that's two of my favorite things. It's a crazy villain and a scheming villain. And then the big monster is just such a weird out of left
kind of like
field addition to the show.
Chubby yellow snake, like, but with weird bone tendril arms and legs that are just completely tertiary,
right.
Just, like, onto the side. And they kind of use them to whip around at enemies.
Right. It
is really weird,
very strange looking. I kind of like the design, honestly, because it's so bizarre. And I don't know. There's just something fun about this episode. Although I will say that it's a little annoying. Like, there's a lot of twists that are cool, but also they're pretty much always immediately undone by the other side. Like, oh, we have a guy who's keeping an eye on Dial Tone. Well, Cobra knows about it and they capture him immediately. And then Zarana, who is like a disguise person, manages to synthesize his voice, so she calls the Joes and is like, everything's going great, and they're like, well,
yeah,
we know that that's not actually our guy because he didn't check in before, so we have this voice analyzer that can make it, you know, unscramble the voice.
And yeah, they have a they deploy a voice synthesizer, and the Joes deploy an anti-voice synthesizer as a counterpoint, and, like, no one is fooled.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, like, these things happen, like, these yeah. plots are overturned within seconds. Like, the twist happens, and then seconds later, it's like, oh, no, don't worry, that's,
the
we figured it out.
Why Dial Tone gets disturbed from the Joes is, like, they're on some aquatic mission, and he's, like, in a boat with his gear, and the other Joes keep splashing water on his gear, and it, like, malfunctions. And because his gear malfunctions, he's like, you didn't do a very good job, and some Joes got hurt. You're court-martialed.
It also features a great scene where several Joes are, like, going out to party, basically, and Roadblock is wearing this incredibly crazy, it's not that crazy, it's just, like, a purple button-up shirt with a really flared collar, but one thing that has to be said about this show is, dear God, are there animation errors all over the place? Like, I mean, I guess that's what happens when some of your episodes are produced by Acom, but in this case, his shirt will just change color from, like, shot to shot, from yellow to fucking purple. and it, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, how do you fuck that up? Like, come on.
Yeah, characters will just appear and disappear from frame too, without, like, fully
I feel like that doesn't happen that much. The most egregious one is, there's a scene where Serpentor is in the background of a shot, like, in a wide shot, his coloring is completely incorrect.
Oh, you mean the scene from My Nadir? Let's move on to that. Season 2, episode 21, Ninja Holiday, the shittiest episode, one of them. This is an episode... This episode's mostly shitty because it was disappointing to me. It's an episode where Sergeant Slaughter they're, like, in Southeast Asia somewhere, and they have, like, they kind of have the opening scene from Predator where they just blow the shit out of this enemy encampment, and I was guessing Vietnam, but it's not. It's somewhere in Southeast Asia. And it's basically like that, except G.I. Joe. So, like, the Joes are planning something, and they've hooked up with this force in Southeast Asia. And then suddenly this hat flies into the window, and it's Sergeant Slaughter's hat. And that's, like, their battle cry, and they all start fighting.
Yeah, it's also, we have to talk about who Sergeant Slaughter is, because you're acting as though everyone knows who Sergeant Slaughter is, which they should.
Sergeant Slaughter is
a
ridiculous pro wrestler who... His gimmick is that he's a drill sergeant, and he's also a real life pro wrestler who is also real life in this show and plays himself.
Yeah, he plays the character Sergeant Slaughter in this show, which is kind of bizarre, but also awesome.
And, like, he's wearing like a skin tight, like, tank top with like camo shorts or camo pants. And a whistle and aviators.
Yeah, camo pants. Yeah, and he has, like, you know, aviator sunglasses,
like,
and the drill sergeant hat. Like, yeah, he talks like he has a mouthful of, like, broccoli, like, all the time. Sometimes it is near impossible to tell what he's actually saying.
And he just
voice is
like
so,
the Hulk,
like, gravelly.
Of the show for the second season. Like, every time he shows up, he gets in a fight with 8 different dudes and comes out completely unscathed. And he's just, like, always fist fighting. He never uses lasers.
Yeah, right.
Usually uses wrestling.
Yeah, he very rarely holds a gun. He prefers to, do stupid wrestling moves where you fall on top of somebody.
Yeah,
and then
so this episode pretty much starts with, like, him kicking a bunch of ass, and then some other guy's about to, like, he ends up in a fighting tournament for Cobra, and he kind of infiltrates
captured. I mean... There is this guy who's gonna join it, but they're like, you can't do that because you're a Joe. You can't do this fighting tournament. So they capture Sergeant Slaughter in his stead, I guess.
And when we are introduced to the fighting tournament, we see, like, all of these combatants that look like they're straight out of Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. Mostly Street Fighter. Just, like, the kind of ridiculous, like, okay, here's a sumo wrestler. Yeah, yeah. Here's a martial artist. Here's a French chef. Why the fuck?
Yeah, the chef is so weird.
He's, like, a tribal warrior from a different country. Okay. Like, it's just, like, all of these super unique warriors.
Yeah.
And then they never use them except one.
Yeah, they use, like, the chef and the tribal guy, and everyone else is just kind of pushed to the side, which sucks.
And the fights suck. Sergeant Slaughter is meant to fight all of them, and all he ends up doing is, like, hitting them a couple times until they step on a part of the floor that's a trap door and fall through and lose.
Yeah,
like,
and that's
how all of the fights end.
Or he, like, throws, like, them onto the trap door, but yeah.
Yeah, so... While we do get a lot of combat in this episode, it's all pretty boring and way too tame. And even though we get a lot of Sergeant Slaughter, even he can't save this episode for being pretty fucking boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, besides all of that, it's just like we have the other Joes trying to find Sergeant Slaughter. In the end, they do, and it's a big battle, and it's just like, it's so stupid.
I mean, it's just so rote at that point. It's like, all right, yeah. They're driving around in vehicles, shooting lasers at each other.
Yep, we got to that necessary part of every episode.
Yeah, one thing that I found pretty disappointing about this one is that we picked it because the summary on the website that we were watching these on made it clear that they, like, the reason for this tournament was to hire an assassin for Cobra Commander, because Cobra Commander is trying to kill Serpentor. So we're like, oh, Cobra Commander will be in this one, right? And he just kind of flies in right at the end in a helicopter.
Yeah,
and just
he's not in it at all.
Yeah, he's not in it at all. But also to really just rub in how pointless everything is, he's with Storm Shadow, which is like the Cobra ninja character. So why doesn't he just fucking have Storm Shadow do it? Like,
yeah, he's got Storm Shadow. It's like Storm Shadow's doing an exit interview. Like, I don't want to work here anymore. Look, I'll help you hire a replacement, but. I'm not going to assassinate Serpentor for you, dude.
Yeah, right. It's just a weird thing. My Nadir was season 1, episode 13. It's an episode called 20 Questions. This episode is basically just a reporter who is kind of based on Geraldo Rivera, in that he's sort of just a shock journalist, trying to prove that Cobra doesn't exist and that it's all just a big scam by the government to funnel money into this military force, I guess, that doesn't actually do anything. He's accompanied by a like hunched guy who I can only liken to Alex Jones, but way more like, it's like an anti-war Alex Jones. It's kind of weird. Yeah, he is very terrible looking. He has an annoying voice. This character is awful. And the whole episode is the G.I. Joe Shipwreck, who has like a sailor theme, of course, trying to show them that Cobra is actually real. And then they get attacked by Cobra. Cobra's trying to break into this chemical weapons facility to steal some explosive gas, which apparently the U.S. government's deemed too crazy to use, which I don't really understand why. Like, you know, when you hear, oh, they're breaking into a chemical weapons facility, you think it's going to be something like fucked up. And instead it's, oh, it's this explosive gas. Like, what's the difference between that and any other explosive material?
Yeah.
So
it's true.
So that's all pretty stupid. Eventually it's revealed that the dude who's annoying, it turns out that he's actually Baroness in disguise for some reason. So yeah, it's just a bunch of crap, basically. Eventually there's the release of a bunch of laughing gas, so everyone's just chuckling it up while they're trying to escape this exploding chemical weapons facility. And I don't know. Mostly the conspiracy theory guy was extremely annoying, frankly.
Yeah.
And also, like, why is it Baroness? Like, why not Zartan, who's Cobra's, like, disguise master? Like, that's literally his whole gimmick. So I don't see why it couldn't have been him. And I don't know. There is one highlight, which is that Hector Ramirez offers to give Cobra Commander an interview. And of course, Cobra Commander leaps at the chance. And we just have one scene where Cobra Commander is like going on and on about something while Hector Ramirez is sitting next to him looking very clearly bored.
Like,
he clearly doesn't give a shit about what Cobra's saying. Also, Hector Ramirez is kind of interesting in that he shows up in Inhumanoids several times, and also Gem and the Holograms. So, you know, it's the G.I. Joe connected universe with Transformers and G.I. Joe and those two shows.
Yeah, right.
Which is, you know, kind of fun.
Well, for my honorable mention, I chose season 2, episode 12, Cobra-thon, which is kind of related to the other one in that it's got, like, Cobra TV-related shit. This is one in which Dr. Mindbender develops his computer virus and needs, like, fundraising from all over the world to make some his computer virus go, I guess.
Except that he already made it. I don't really understand why they need more money.
They have this fucking telethon to raise money, and I don't know why, but they need to make $5 billion. And it's like, it kind of reminded me of like a Kickstarter. It's basically what telethons were. It's like,
yeah,
it's
pretty
like
much
old-timey Kickstarter.
Call-in Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It is worth mentioning, too, that they don't actually need $5 billion. They intentionally inflate how much money they need to so that they can make it out with a bunch more money than necessary.
That sounds about right.
Which is directly stated, which is pretty funny.
This episode, this is actually the one I was talking about that has really bad yes. animation errors. This one is like, in the background you'll see Serpentor and his outfit will change colors like shot to shot, and it's really apparent. It's like he goes from being completely gold to being like totally like red and green,
like brown. It's really strange. Insane. In the wide shot he is like brown and green and he's clearly colored wrong, and then in all the close-ups he's colored correctly, but sometimes his fist kind of goes outside of the TV screen, so it looks like he's like literally popping out of the television.
And this whole episode, I mean, it's kind of silly. It's just like such a dumb episode that I enjoyed it a little bit. It was like all the villains are in tuxedos and they're all like, I love seeing Destro getting pissed off at like his shitty script that he has to read, and he ends up shooting the teleprompter.
I forgot then, about that. Yeah, he's telling a bunch of terrible jokes and then he gets pissed off because they're so bad.
Yeah. There's another bit for your fanfic of the Cobra's
the joke writer.
And then it ends with like they hint heavily that they're in a casino or something, and then so the G.I. Joes figure out they must be in L.A.
Las Vegas, rather.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The place famous for its casinos.
They like capture these two Joes and put them in the stupidest fucking death contraptions.
Right.
One is like, all right, we have a glass tube, and above it is a giant slot machine. We're going to pull it, get jackpot, and we'll drown you in coins slowly.
Yeah, which
and
I'm
so
not
that
sure
starts
if
happening.
That would work even. Like,
yeah, it would run out.
Well, not even that, but like if you were in a container filled with coins above your head, like would there be enough air passing between the coins to
it would crush
not
you
suffocate
eventually.
You? I don't know.
The other one's even worse. A guy is tied to a craps table.
Roulette.
Fucking Serpentor
jackass
starts
two craps
dice.
Table.
Of course they land snake eyes because it's Cobra. And then the dice just explode into snakes that
into
attack
cobras,
him.
Yeah.
It's cool.
You forget also that there's a point where they're both on big roulette wheels for some reason just spinning around.
They're just spinning too fast for them to hold on.
Yeah, right. It's pretty
dumb.
And also, Cobra Commander is in this only in appearance. He sadly has no lines, though he does wear a tuxedo and the mask that covers his face.
Yeah. Well, what was your honorable mention?
Mine was Season 2, Episode 22, G.I. Joe and the Golden Fleece. This is an episode in which you can probably kind of guess what happens, but basically...
you can?
Well, based on the Golden Fleece thing, I mean, what else are they going to be referencing? So Cobra and G.I. Joe are fighting, and then some aliens drop this, like, gold coil that gets shot with a laser.
As
this transport them back in time.
Yeah.
Now that I'm actually saying it, you're right. Who the
Seems
fuck could have guessed this garbage?
So far.
So they're back in time in ancient Greece, and they're fighting, etc., etc. Fucking Sergeant Slaughter is considered to be Heracles, and so this king makes him clean the stables, and he does it by diverting a river, like in the fucking myth. But then after doing that, the king is just angry. He's like, "You're not Heracles because you did it the way he did," and also I guess. Like it was such a weird like conceit, I guess.
How does
I thought,
the king already know Heracles exists?
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess it's already a legend, but like, my impression was that Sergeant Slaughter was the inspiration for the legend, but it seems
awesome.
Like that's not the case. So this is a ridiculous episode with a bunch of G.I. Joes in ancient Greece, and it's about as stupid as you would expect. But the reason that I kind of love it is that. A, it's sort of funny that Sergeant Slaughter is apparently the inspiration for Hercules. Like, that's such a ridiculous concept. Sadly, there's no like etching of Heracles that is Sergeant Slaughter. And then also the golden coil thing just gets taken by the aliens in the end, and then they leave, and no one even fucking like is weirded out in the slightest bit by the fact that these were just two huge alien ships that just appeared and then left. It's pretty strange. And it reminded me of an episode of The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest, where it turns out that the president is an alien, then that just doesn't matter. Like,
Okay, I guess everything's fine.
Yeah, but, right.
Man, and I love, like, Sergeant Slaughter can speak ancient Greek, and it's pointed out.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing that's pretty funny.
What, are you surprised I went to college?
Sergeant Slaughter is very familiar with Greek myth and ancient Greece, which is just, like, a weird character turn.
Yeah.
But honestly, what I kind of appreciate, like, that's a okay joke. All right, so yeah, we'll talk about this show a bit more when we get back from the break, which we're going to now.
Yo, go!
G.I. Joe will return in a moment.
Hey there, everyone. This is Michael telling you some information that you may already know, or you may not. Who knows? Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Divin', and the music for the bumpers is Monkeys, both by Onatech. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode will release June 5th, and next week catch a mini-sode where we discuss G.I. Joe the Movie. As always, you can submit a topic or show suggestion for our mini-sodes via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter at HBpod, or email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com.
Don't just stand here! Destroy them! Cobra!
And now, back to G.I. Joe.
Hey, we're back. Peter, what did you think about this show? I see you have an extensive description of notes.
Yeah. Well, my notes, I think it says, this show is not very good.
Yep, that is literally what it says.
Yeah,
do you
want
to expand
on
that?
Show. It's just, I just, you know, like, this is a show that we watched in college together, and it was fun to watch in college. I found it fun because it was just very stupid and easy to make fun of.
Sure.
And watching it seriously was not nearly as enjoyable, even though we still will, like, riff on stuff a little bit, or, you know, like, we'll still make comments on the episodes as they happen. We were generally watching them and trying to figure out what was going on. And
Well, we weren't, like, sitting around drunk with, like, five other people watching them and, like, half watching and half not.
Exactly. And watching it this way was kind of painstaking after a while. It was just like, oh, come on. Like, yep, okay, now we're into the requisite, like, 4 minutes of laser fighting and explosions and nothing happening. And I just kind of got bored with every episode, except for the one that I liked. The space one. But even the other ones, it was like none of them were like stupid enough to be consistently entertaining to me. So I find it kind of a difficult watch. What did you think about it?
I don't honestly have super strong opinions about this show, with one exception, which is that Serpentor is terrible. Frankly, like, the one thing that I actually find consistently entertaining in the show is Cobra Commander and the interaction between Cobra Commander, Destro, and the Baroness, who all seem to be on roughly equal footing as far as being in charge of Cobra. And so they're frequently in disagreement and just, like, undermining each other. And I don't know, I like that stuff with my groups of villains in 80s cartoons. That's why Starscream's my favorite character. Like, it's the same kind of thing. There's not really a clear leader, But then when Serpentor is introduced, that's all thrown out the window, and now Serpentor is the clear leader, and that whole dynamic is pretty much completely erased, which sucks. Fortunately, near the end, we have some Cobra commanders sort of undermining Serpentor, which is fun, but still, Serpentor is just not an interesting character in any way, particularly compared to Cobra Commander.
And what a design, too. Good God.
He looks like completely ridiculous.
Golden serpent armor that is like a giant, makes him look like a giant serpent with like his face sticking out of a serpent's mouth.
Yeah, like a cobra's mouth, so it has the flared hood and everything.
The two snakes coming wrapped around his shoulders like a stole.
Which
really stupid.
Yeah, he has a completely ridiculous design. But I like the Cobra Commander aspects of the show. Honestly don't like much else. Like, I think that they do a good job sometimes of providing like genuinely entertaining stuff, but then a lot of it's also just kind of undermined by the fact that it's ridiculous and there are animation errors all over the place. And just the plots are so like off the wall weird. And unfortunately, I feel like a lot of the time, like the Cobra-thon, I was like so excited for how silly that would be. And then it's like kind of silly, but not nearly as much as I wanted it to be.
It's like they don't go far enough with the goofy bits. And then, I don't know, something about the Joes too. Like, I could never keep their names straight. Like Duke is the only one I really remember, and Lady J. And then there's like a Lifeline. Billion other that you're expected
there are so
to know the
many
names
characters.
Of them.
Yeah, there are so many characters that it's hard to keep track of them.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like an adult when Pokemon came out. All their names?
Yeah, no, that's actually interesting because like that's also I think one of the reasons that the like Cobra Commander and his friends are so memorable because they're very consistently in the show, whereas
like
a lot
of
the Joes kind of aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not even that many. There's like four Cobra characters at first. Oh, well, I always forget Zartan and the Dreadnought. Yeah, so there's like seven.
Dreadnoughts and all that shit, but still.
Yeah, but still, it's like a fairly limited cast compared to the Joes, of which there are
like
50.
Versus 40.
Yeah, exactly. So they're really memorable, whereas most of the Joes just kind of come and go. And it's like, oh, okay, that guy's dial tone, I guess. I don't know. Like, he'll show up later, maybe. Who knows? I agree with that generally. I think that it's probably worth noting, just as a sidebar, that Marvel like pushed Hasbro to include female Joes in the action figure line. So kudos to Marvel for that, I suppose.
Yeah, that's cool.
Especially considering that they are like active combatants, which is still not a thing that's widely accepted.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it was kind of ahead of its time in that sense. Also, there's a Russian team of Joes, essentially, called the October Guard. I don't think we watched the episode, but there is an episode where they team up to fight Cobra, which in a pre-fall of the Berlin Wall world is also kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll give the show some kudos for that. I did weirdly take, I mean, maybe not weirdly, I took some issue with the, like, militarism of the show, which, of course, like, why am I, like, I have it in my notes specifically as America's always the good guy's tone, which, no shit, that's going to be the tone. It's a fucking cartoon. Right. Like, what do you expect, dude? But I did find some of that stuff a little frustrating at first. I kind of grew to accept it, partly because I read an article by Buzz Dixon, who is the show's head writer in the second season and one of the writers in the first season, on his blog, where he has like basically an article where he's talking about the potential impact that this show had on like the war on terror, basically. And how he's afraid that this show might have influenced some of it, which is a pretty interesting little bit of write-in from somebody. So that helped me kind of get over it, I guess, but there is still some weird, like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely some jingoism and shit going on.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, what does help a lot about that, I would say, is just the fact that they're not fighting any actual enemy, you know? It's like they ally with other actual nations.
Yeah, right. They're fighting this nebulous evil force known as Cobra. Right, they're not fighting like a Russia. Force out of Russia called Cobra or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So that helps a bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just something to note, I guess. Overall, I think that this is okay. Like, this show has its moments, but it's really not something to, like, sit down and watch at all. So yeah. I guess with that, let's go to our recommendations. What do you think, Peter? Is this a visit, a revisit, or is it best left in the past?
Yeah, leave it in the past. I didn't care for this show too much. It was, you know, it was fun watching it before. I don't have the perspective of revisiting it, you know? Like, it might be fun to do so, but I didn't watch it as a kid.
Yeah, certainly.
You know, it was before our times in terms of its original airing. It
yeah, then aired, I was
what, like 3 or 4 years before I was born.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's good enough to be like, yeah, jump in and watch.
Yeah,
it's
you should watch it. No,
jump in and watch because it's actually good. It's nah.
Yeah, it's pretty mediocre. I mean, it's kind of what you expect from animated series of the time, frankly.
Yeah.
It falls into the same kind of crevasse of Transformers and He-Man, where it's just kind of there.
And it seems like they're always just like trying hard to have as much action as possible, but the least amount of violence. Like they're really trying to skirt the guidelines of what they had to deal with in terms of being a kids cartoon in the 80s.
That is actually pretty interesting when you think about it, because like, you know, these were actually some of the first cartoons that were allowed to have this kind of violence at all. Like, I mean, it's worth noting that He-Man is pretty well known because He-Man's allowed to actually punch people, like attack people.
Right. Yeah.
So there's something about like, I guess that overload of action, which doesn't really ever mean anything. And I don't know, like maybe there's some argument that having that much action is trying to indicate that it is like this chaotic thing that you can't control or something. I don't know. But overall, yeah, it's a bunch of flashing lights that hurt your eyes eventually.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm going to say that maybe it's a conditional revisit. Like, I think the show has some qualities that I like. Basically, I like Cobra Commander. I think there are some episodes that we had already watched that we avoided this watch that were maybe worth checking out. But overall, it's, you know, it's not a great show. It's an 80s cartoon that kind of existed to sell toys. Like,
yeah,
you know, don't spend time trying to track down where to watch it online, basically. So yeah, G.I. Joe, not a great show, in retrospect. Well, next week, we are going to be watching the G.I. Joe movie because we thought, fuck it, why not? When are we going to talk about G.I. Joe again?
G.I. Joe, not a great show. Well, next week, more G.I. Joe.
The movie is, I don't know. We'll talk about it. But yeah, after that, we're getting to something that we're both very excited about, G Gundam.
A lot of G's this month.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. There's another one. Anyway, with that terrible joke, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
Be sure to revisit us next week for G.I. Joe the movie, and then after that, G Gundam. Thanks for listening. If you want more of our content, follow us over at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter @HBpod, where we post all of our episodes, as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. This is also a great way to get in contact with us if you're so inclined. Of course, subscribing on iTunes is also a surefire way to stay up to date. And while you're there, please consider leaving us a review. It really helps get the word out. Thanks again, and see you next week.